The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
It's really been 7-8 long months. It's kind of been maybe it's actually longer than that. Maybe it's over a year. We've been waiting in the desert for a small drink of water, a little morsel, a pouch of water to fall from our master's table. And finally, after much deliberating, Owen Sheehan has deigned to come down again from the mountain and give us his tablets. The power rankings are back.
The most correct and efficient and clearly perfect power rankings, given their full title this year. We'll go from 32 down to 1. We may go straight into this and go from 32 down to 20 with a few rapid fire counties here. Not going to have New York in here because they're not playing in the league. I'm actually doing well to be putting London in here at number 32 because they're not even going to be playing anymore this year. They're not taking part in the championship, but still the worst record. So they are 32. At 31, we've got Waterford. At 30, we've got Sligo after a fairly miserable few years. At 29, the Paul Galvin-less Wexford are in there. At 28, we've got Wicklow. At 27, we've got a Carlow side that have really come back to that pack in the last 12 months. At 26, then, we have Louth, who are having a fairly terrible time in Division 3. And at 25, we have Antrim, who are having a pretty good time in Division 4. And at 24, another side also enjoying the Division 4 life, Limerick. At 23, then, we have Leitrim. At 22, we have Tipperary. After, again, tough years for Tip. There is a bit of glimmer of hope coming for them, hopefully from their perspective this year with a few players back. At 21, then, is Offaly. A mini resurgence under John Mohan, potentially breaking into the top 20 this year, and into the top 20 we go. I presume you've got no complaints so far that
I think you're a bit low on Sligo, a bit low on Tip, a bit low on Offaly. But sure, look, I haven't seen the rest of them yet, so I need to know who to take out of your ladder before I can.
I'd love to see the little part of your brain that's going, that's a disgrace, putting Sligo down there. Like, well, I don't like, we can come back to that. At 20 is Derry. At 19, we've got Longford. At 18, I have gone for Fermanagh. At 17, then, is County Down.
Hang on, Derry 19, Longford.
Derry Longford, are 20, 19, Longford are 19.
18, Fermanagh.
17 are down. Coming in at number 16 then. I think it's a good day for this county. I think Adrian Barry will be thanking me later in the week. At 16, we've got Westmeath.
Right.
Westmeath in ahead of Derry, Fermanagh, Down, Longford. That is possibly one of the big calls here. At number 15, your beloved Kildare in at number 15. Not what they once were. Still, could have been a lot worse. At 14, we've got County Clare. And at 13, we have got Leash. So two of the teams that made it to the fourth round of the qualifiers last year. At number 12, and this is the county that tend to have an inflated sense of self-worth and expectation, especially in recent times. At number 12, we have Meath. We have Meath at 12. Division 1 team, but they're basically just happy to be there, it seems. They're not here to take over, they're just here to take part. Is certainly what it seems with Meath sometimes, with the way they go on. At 11, we have Cork. Obviously a Division 3 team, so struggle to put them in at the top 10, but they're clearly way too good for Division 3. At 10, we've gone for Keavon. And then into the top 10. At number 9, we have got Roscommon. Going well in Division 2, won 3 games, drawn a game and lost a game. And at number 8, then, is our second Division 1 team of this morning, which is Monaghan. Monaghan obviously had a terrible summer last year, lost both of their games in the championship, but they have looked good at times in the league this year. Should have beaten Dublin in Croke Park, ended up drawing that game. But they have beaten Tyrone, they have beaten Mayo. They're in at number 8. At number 7, it's our highest-rated Division 2 team, Armagh. Armagh, brilliant summer last year, have backed it up by sitting top of the table in Division 2 when the pandemic hit in March. They're in at number 7. At number 6 is Mayo. They look like they're in a massive relegation battle this year, despite having a pretty good summer last year. And to be honest with you, I did weigh up putting them in at number five ahead of the next county, but I actually respect my own personal safety, and I know that this county in at number five also are fairly precious about where they sit in the power rankings. It's themselves or Meath who tend to get most upset. At number five is Galway. Now, when I was putting out these rankings and, you know, putting the drafts pieces on the black and white squares of my brain in front of me, I had Galway in at number three, potentially even number two. I was thinking, could they be number two? They're top of Division One. No. They're number five in this. They're not any higher than that. And we can go through last year's championship if you want. Sure, they've been great this year, and the signs of improvement are there, and the trajectory is going up. But they're the fifth best team in the country right now. At number four, then, we've got Donegal, who are Ulster champions. I mean, that evening in Castlebar last year would probably haunt them. They will definitely feel that they're good enough to have made an All-Ireland semi-final last year. At number three is Tyrone. We're having a very good league campaign, except for that ridiculous performance by Galway to put them to the swords in the league, which is one of the reasons why you will suspect that Galway will go up these rankings over the next little while. So Tyrone are at number three. At number two is Kerry. And at number one is Dublin. So those are the first power rankings of the resumed 2020 National League season.
What? So these are the power rankings of the National League season. That's like the power rankings...
Right now, this is, but based on your form, what you have put in over the course of championship and the league so far this season, those are the things that are weighted most heavily when it comes to making these decisions, with a couple of exceptions, because a couple of counties obviously got raw deals when it came to their draw. Naturally, if you're an Ulster county, you're going to have a raw deal as opposed to a team at Leinster County. So you cannot come up with a formula to judge everybody by the same algorithm, but you can come close with the maths a little bit and come close with form.
So basically Dublin and Kerry are stuck at one and two because they're not going to play a meaningful game until All-Ireland semi-final time.
Correct. Unless, of course, Kerry get beaten by Cork in their Munster Championship game, at which point they will tumble quite considerably. If you lose to what will then be a Division 2 team, then... You will tumble down these rankings. You need to get beaten, of course. But like, we're now in the realm where we're not going to have a Super 8. We're not going to have a league final. The window for these rankings to change dramatically, I accept, is definitely small. But you will also have big games in Ulster and big games in Connacht, which will likely stem the tide a little bit. Galway could also win their last two games. They could hammer Mayo this weekend and really put distance between themselves and Mayo. And they could end up winning the league, essentially. And that will definitely strengthen their case.
Why are Tyrone ahead of Donegal?
Tyrone are ahead of Donegal because they made it to the All-Ireland semi-final last year. The way I looked at it as well is on league form this year, they've had a slightly better league campaign, just about. It was a very, very close one to call because, obviously, in the Ulster Championship last year, Donegal came out on top. But when it came to the Super 8s, when it came to qualifying for the All-Ireland semi-finals, Tyrone were there. Tyrone came through the back door last year in the championship and put in some really impressive performances, like that hammering of Cavan, that 16-point hammering of Cavan.
They always hammer Cavan.
Was an indicator that they were very much back on track, or very much on track, and that they definitely had enough in the tank to get to the semi-finals. They beat, obviously, Roscommon in the Super 8s. They beat Cork in the Super 8s. They came through, and Tyrone tends to do it the hard way. They did it the hard way when they won the All-Ireland in 2008. And
it's a long time ago. Long time ago. They've no McShane this year.
Yeah, but like Yes. You're putting me on the spot here. The last time I saw Tyrone play, Colin McShane was playing, and he was back for that game against Kerry and Dungannon earlier this year. And he's got injured, obviously, since.
Yeah, he's not playing. He's gone for the year.
But my point here is that what they have actually shown is part of Colin McShane's team. So their form has been good enough with Colin McShane in tow to put them in at number three in the power rankings.
Okay, I think
so. I'm not actually being as predictive as I used to be with these, is the thing.
Well, they shouldn't be. I think Tyrone without Colin McShane can't be in the top three teams in the country, irrespective of...
But are you factoring in the players that have come back in?
Well, is Matty Donnelly going to be fully fit and able to go? And is he going to be as good as Matty Donnelly used to be? Or is it going to take him a little bit of time? Is next year when they have McShane and Matty Donnelly and, you know, Conor McKenna, fully up to speed and ready to go. Like, Conor Kenn is obviously, we are given to understand, kind of seemed to slip out. And Kavanagh was doing his retirement interviews that he's available. But I don't know if he's going to be the superstar that everybody thinks he is straight away.
That's my point on the way I've structured these is that, of course, you can make a case that the like Conor McKenna or Matty Donnelly or something will come in and make up for the absence of Cathal McShane.
They won't.
If
they had all those players together, you could make the case that they're the third best team in the country. Just one quick point. I don't remember their All-Ireland semi-final performance last year at all. It's completely gone from me. It was Kerry beat them by goal, right?
Yeah.
And was it a close game? Was it like never in doubt? Was it? Did they have a late rally? I actually can't remember that game at all.
Yeah, no, in fairness, McShane was absurdly good on that afternoon. And Tyrone were leading at halftime. It was a dreadful first half performance. Felt like there was 200 people in Croke Park. It was dead. And Kerry just came back into it in the second half. Stephen O'Brien scored a goal and were the better team in the second half and deserved to win. But McShane did tear the Kerry defence to shreds. Like, this is the thing. Like, I can start making exceptions for the fact that Tyrone have lost one of their best forwards and then get into the hypothetical of where that might leave them. But actually what I've decided to do this year, I'm a changed man on these power rankings, is that I'm actually putting form and actual results ahead of everything else. Nothing else matters. I mean, like Michael Quinlivan being back for Tip, for example, that's not going to give them the rocket fuel now. I expect it will. Now, we can expect that Tyrone might fall flat and they won't have enough firepower up front.
Yes.
Their results will dip. But I will let the power rankings be a reaction to the result, because too many people think that there's too many opinions going on here. I've always said these are stone cold correct power rankings, and they're even more stone cold and more correct than last year and the year before.
Okay, what about the fact that Galway look like they're a team who have finally put together all of the best parts of Kevin Walsh and all of the best parts of the repressed attacking talent that we thought they had over the last couple of years? So good defence, a fully fit, it seems like from the outside, functioning forward line where Comer's going to be available. Walsh is playing out of his skin. And they're the fifth best team in the country?
How did they do in the championship last year? The most important recent competition we have to judge them on.
I mean, I think that things have changed since then, have they not?
But we've played half a league. They've played five league games since the championship, which is the most important recent competition we have to judge them on. They got beaten by Roscommon. They got beaten by Mayo. Like, if you're genuinely a team that feels that they should be contending for the All-Ireland, you've probably got to win one of those games. Just one of them. I'm not asking for you to win both of them. But you can't get beaten by Roscommon and by Mayo. You can't thereby kind of come out of the summer looking like the third best team in Connacht if you want to be winning the All-Ireland. I accept that they have taken a step forward this year, no question about it. They're so much better than they were last year. They hammered Tyrone in the league, which was one of the most impressive performances we've seen, one of the most impressive individual performances we've ever seen from Shane Walsh in that particular afternoon.
Yeah. Different management team. Jim McGuinness in doing sessions.
I would love to have seen how it turned out if the league had actually come to its conclusion and to see them actually win the league final, because they got to the league final under Kevin Walsh and they put up a decent fight against Dublin. And when it came down to playing Dublin in the summer, they just weren't any good. Now, in fairness, that year they did get out of their Super 8s group. They did look like they'd finally got to the point where they were going to be regular semi-final contenders. 2019, though, flew completely in the face of that. It flew completely in the face of that. And I know they've had their injury troubles, but I'm writing off almost the misfortune that different counties have, unless it's a ridiculous level, because everybody has their injuries going into every summer.
Well, okay, fair enough. What's his bloody criteria for this? Apparently there's a science.
The most recent competitions, the 2020 Division 1, or whatever division you're playing in, and the 2019 Championship. And then on top of that, I'll accept there has to be a little bit of opinion that comes into it. And otherwise, you're going to have Monaghan as Team 32 because they lost both of their games in the Championship last year. There has to be a little bit of accepting that they're better than that. So you have to look at what Galway have done in the league this year, no question about it.
Okay.
But you also have to look at the fact that last year in the Championship, they lost their two most important games. They beat London and Sligo.
Kerry should be ahead of Dublin.
How would you come up with that?
Dublin have had a change of manager. The man of the match of the All-Ireland final is gone. They've had a number of retirements, and certainly it's been a massive shift in what they were to what they are. And in David Clifford, the best footballer in the country, undoubtedly is playing for Kerry.
A lot of Dublin people will say that Brian Fenton is the best footballer in the country, and that head-to-head on the opening night in Croke Park was incredible, where the two of them were operating off full tilts, and it was ridiculous. Like, I'm not going to make a case that Kerry should be lower than two. Like, they definitely are the second-best team in the country, in my opinion, and also, if you look at recent results, like, they've had a good league campaign, they had a really good championship
Should have beaten them last year in the final.
And they should have beaten them. There's no question about that. But Dublin were down to 14 men at times in that game.
Because,
like, the new management you're using
as a negative.
Like, well, that's true. But you're using the new management as a stick to beat Dublin with and a thing to boost Galway up. Granted, I know the departing manager, and one of them is Jim Gavin, one of the greatest managers of all time, and that is a key point.
I just don't think
shorn of two fantastic players in Dermot Connolly and Jack McCaffrey, I don't think they get overtaken by Kerry this year. But it's going to be an incredible clash if they do meet in an All-Ireland final.
Right. 6 minutes past nine. The power rankings are back. You can complain about them using the hashtag OTBAM, or you can get us on Twitter at Off The Ball. It is 7 minutes past nine this morning. Plenty more to come.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.